We're glad to see you all. And it was nice to hear our brother. Many of the names he mentioned, I know those brethren. Now we've been to Russia. Now we'll come back to San Diego. Read with me, if you will, from the Psalms. I find it difficult sometimes to know whether I'm being led to the Holy Spirit or not. So I hope I am being. But you're my judges, so I'm having to speak before a lot of judges this afternoon. You will know. Psalm 110, verse 1. No, 101, pardon me. You know, I make a mistake once in a while. And so do my brethren. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in the perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Now, without giving you the background or trying, you will know that this is a Psalm of David. And we want to just notice a few practical things in it. And one thing I have noted at the bottom is GPT, so I know I got it, didn't get it from another book. I got it from this book. And these are just a few little thoughts that I'm going to pass on to you now. First of all, it's determination. Now, we're starting very soon into a new year, and you know that people will have a determination, or they call it something else. Sometimes they just decide they're not going to eat chocolates anymore, and a whole lot of things like that. However, as Christians, we have to have self-determination, and David had it. How do you know? Because he said, I will. Now he tells us what he has determined to do. I will sing. And he tells us the theme of his song, mercy and judgment. Now, David was determined then that he would do that, and he had all kinds of reasons not to at times. You know that he had enemies all around him. He had troubles in the home. He had troubles with his family. And he had the same kind of difficulties that many of us have, and yet he was determined to have a happy spirit and sing. And so I hope, as we leave 95 and enter into 96, that will be our self-determination, and we'll be saying, Lord willing, I want to be a happy Christian. You know, I believe that's a real witness. It's a real testimony to the world, because so many people look unhappy, and they are unhappy. I have visited a number of homes for the aged. And oh, such unhappy looking creatures. in those homes. And here's some of them walking along like this. And I stopped and talked with them. And I said, well, sit down and we'll have a visit. How old are you? Why, I've got a son as old as some of them. And there they were, thought they were awfully old. Why, I said, you're not old. I'm old enough to be your father. Straighten up, man. But they've nothing to be happy about. Why? They weren't saved. They didn't know the Lord Jesus. They had no song at all. There was no song in him. That's why this Bible tells us he's put a new song in our mouth. Yes, those of you that are saved, you can sing. Why? Because he put a new song in your mouth. Poor souls, they're all over. And the Christian that has that song in his heart, even though he can't sing now, I know I will never reach the top 10 in singing. I won't reach anything. And some others are the same way, but there are others with beautiful voices, and they're being paid. Well, the soap operas and so on are paying them a lot of money. They can sing nice, but that's all it is. I took a funeral with a brother that's gone to heaven, and these weren't assembly people, so they hired this person to sing at the funeral. And mind you, she sang some hymns. Beautiful. Oh, it just flowed out like a bird from that woman. And so afterwards, I said, do you know the author that you were singing about? No, she said, I didn't take time to look up who wrote that hymn. Well, I said, I was thinking of a different author than the one that wrote the hymn. Oh, yes, I said, you were singing about the Lord. Do you know him? She didn't know him at all. Now you'd think she did when she sang it. She was using the music all right. She had the voice. She had the gift. But she didn't have Christ. And if you don't know him, oh, I pity you this afternoon. We've been hearing about the Russians. God bless them with his word and he will. I've read the history of the Russians too. But mind you, right here in the United States with all the millions of people, there are many of them this afternoon that couldn't sing at all. Why? They've no Christ. They've no salvation. They've nothing to sing about. Only the old ditties that we used to sing. And you know, they keep popping up in my mind. What I used to sing too. Why, I was trying to find something the other day and one came right in to my mind. Where's my bag? Where's my hat? And so on. Oh, where is my leather bag? Send it to the place written on the tag. And it goes on and on. Why, that came, you'd think I was just been singing it yesterday. Ah, nothing to it at all. But oh, when we begin to think of the songs that have been written by our spiritual men and women, and we have it in our hymn book, and I want to stop right here to say this. I lost my hymn book. Whoever arranged these chairs after the breaking of bread, I hope you'll find it. Because I want to sing out of my own hymn book too. So, if you've probably found it by now, but I've lost it. I hope so. Anyway, however, this was his determination. This was the theme of his song, mercy and judgment. And oh, to think of the mercy God had upon us when we were treading the broad and crowded road on the way down to destruction and misery and hell for all eternity. The mercy that God had upon us to send his son to die for us upon the cross. There's the judgment. He judged his own beloved son instead of me. I'll never be there. Haven't I a right to sing this afternoon to realize this? I'll never be in the burnings. I'm going home to heaven. Aren't you happy this afternoon that you're not among the unsaved? Well, that was his determination. And now, verse 2. Here's his conduct. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Not only was he determined to be a happy man and a singing man, and he was the sweet psalmist of Israel, nevertheless, he thinks of his conduct. And so he's determined to behave himself. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. And you know that takes self-determination to behave ourselves. We're living in the age now. You don't mind if I mention this, I guess. I noticed our brethren saying, our world. Well, I didn't think it was our world. I thought it belonged to the Lord. I'm in it. But it's not mine. I don't want it. Well, we're in it, all right, and what's in it? Everything to defile us. Everything to make us miserable. Everything to make us sad. And so on. And so, everybody's behaving the way they feel they should. Just the same in Israel. Everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. He was his own judge. And that's the way it is in the world this very afternoon. Corruption, sin, oh, it's terrible. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah. And you, brother, know that, and sisters should know it too. And so, we've got to have this holy determination to behave ourselves, and we need the wisdom that God can give us to do it, because the same nature is here yet. In me, and in you, though you are saved. However, I better not say I won't be here too long. I say that, and then I am. See, when I preach, I'm used to preaching alone anyway, and I take all the time. I've preached for an hour at a time, all right, and I don't want to this afternoon. Now, we'll read verse 2 again. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house in a perfect heart. That was his determination. I will. You'll notice how many times, if you want to underline it in your mind or on your Bible, that he says, I will, I will, I will. He was determined to do it. That was his will. If God helped him, he would do that very thing. I will do it. I will walk within my house with the perfect heart. A lot of the difficulties are in that house. Your house and my house. That's where it starts. What you are at home is what you are in the assembly. And if you're walking perfectly before the Lord in your house, it'll be no problem in your home. I try to tell the brethren, if they would pray with their families out loud at home, it would be no problem for them to rise in the assembly meetings and pray and take some part. And I want to stop right here and say this. I was very thankful this morning to hear so many local men, as we call them, taking part, and younger brethren too. You know, I don't like to go to a conference and hear just the preachers taking part. I wish those preachers would keep still and let our brethren take part, and many of them do. But there was no preachers here much. Well, see, just a few of us minor prophets. Some minor prophets here. And the others took part, and thank God, I enjoyed it. Didn't you enjoy the meeting this morning? Well, so did I. Didn't you, Stanley? Yes, it was a good meeting. Brother Baker. Right. Thank God for it, and thank the Lord for these brethren that took part. And I'm looking at a man, I won't name him now, brother, but I'm glad I heard your voice this morning, too. I thought, my, is that man going to sit through the whole meeting and never say anything? And he can say it! He's got it in his heart, and I'm glad that he let it out. Ah, brethren, we have a right to be happy. We have a right to sing. We have a right to talk before the Lord. And so David is saying, I want to do that very thing. Now, verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Now you'll enjoy me talking about this. We used to preach about not having a TV. Well, there's no use of us preaching about that now because most everybody has one.
Well, I haven't. I never have.
And I've never said I wouldn't have. Why?
I don't know my own heart good enough.
The likelihood is if I got up here and shouted away and said I would never have one in my house, the next thing you'd know I would have. But God helping me, I've never desired this. And so David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Now I've said this before, I'll say it this afternoon. There's no more harm looking at and hearing the news read over that TV than there is reading it in your newspaper. It's the other things that you see, and it's the other things you read in your newspaper too. You can defile your own soul with other things in your newspaper. I asked a lady, in fact, she went through the Bible College in Toronto and was graduated as a pastor. And came to me and got gathered out too, mind you, my. Things going fine. And then in a series of meetings that we were having, she found out she wasn't saved at all. What do you know about that? I finally asked her, well, now listen. You went through all of that. You had to read your Bible. Yes, she said, I had to read it to get my degree. But I didn't want to. I didn't read it because I enjoyed it. What did you enjoy the most? The newspaper? Yes, any time. Do you read the funnies? Oh, yes, yes. She could tell us all the funnies and all the cartoons and all the rest of it. Oh, man, she was as empty as a drum. Had nothing but up in here. She couldn't sing these songs of Zion with any joy. Well, I'm glad to tell you this. She did get saved, and I believe she's in heaven now. Thank God. All his ways are wonderful, brother. Well, here is this, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. You can't have that screen before you. And you've got to have a lot of determination to be able to control it. And maybe you can control it, but your children won't. And that's where the harm comes in. They have it in their homes, and when mom and dad are away, they'll turn on this, and I'll tell you, it won't be the news that they're looking at either. It'll be wicked things. All right, and so, this again is his determination. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Well, I was in all that kind of a thing, and of course I would enjoy that. I could enjoy that in my unsaved days. Could you enjoy it now, you say? Oh, I could get so far away from the Lord, you'd be surprised what you could enjoy. You've got to be like this man David and set these things before your mind and soul and be able to say, I will not. Oh, how long will it be before you come to me, he's saying, because I don't want it. Okay, that's fine. And so, we will look at this in verse 3 again. I hate the work of them that turn aside. My, people say, is it right to hate anybody? It's the work of them that turn aside. You hate that work. You love your brother if he is such, but you hate the things that they're into, and hate the things they do. Oh, yes. And so all of this in verse 3, I class as self-discipline. And so we have to discipline ourselves. If you were in the army, you'd be disciplined. If you're in other places, you'll be disciplined. And of course, I know they've tossed that out of the schools now. There's hardly any discipline left. And so on, not when I went. Why, I went to Roman Catholic Boys Academy, and the man had me come up, and now he says, put your hands right up there so I know where they are. And I put them up like this, like I was told. And man, if he didn't come down with a pointer, a big long pointer like this, right across my knuckles, and I thought they'd fallen down on the floor. I looked down to see if I had any on my hands. That was the kind of discipline you got in those days. Oh, I'll tell you, it was something else.
And one night we were hauled up there, two other French boys, myself. I wasn't French, but I was going to get the same as they. Great big fat priest came out with his robes on too, and he found from the teacher he would find out what was wrong. And he helped with the cat and nine tails. Now you folks may not know what that is, but there actually were nine straps like this. They call it the cat and nine tails, and there's the wrist on it like that. And he was slashing those boys like this. And it all got theirs but me. And I had to think awful fast. So I was to get it next. And I said, "Sir, you have no right to do that to me." "Why not?" he says. I said, "Because I'm a Protestant." And on top of that, I said, "My father's a friend of the Member of Parliament. And if you should do this, it'll be in Ottawa by tomorrow morning. And I'm sure the school will be in trouble." Do you know, I got myself out of it anyhow. And when I got home, I was proud to tell my father about all this at the supper table. And he stopped eating right away. He said, "I've always told you not to tell a lie. And you lied because I don't even know the name of the Member of Parliament." "I'll have to take you out in the woodshed." Oh, I thought, now look at, I got away from the Gat and Nine Tails, now I'm going to get something else. Oh, I said, "Pop," I used to call him Pop. I said, "Pop, what should I do? I won't do it again, but what could I do when I saw those boys getting slashed through the Gat and Nine Tails?" "Well, if you'll promise me you'll never say that again." "Oh, no," I said. I thought to myself, "I probably won't have to, because the man was afraid he would get in trouble." But I didn't tell my father that.
Oh, you've got to think at times, brethren. And David is thinking here. He's thinking about setting some wicked thing before him. And he knows this, if I do, it'll defile me. And I can't sing the songs that I want to sing. And I won't be the sweet psalmist of Israel if I set those things. I've got to determine before the Lord to do these things for Him. And so he's got that in his mind. Self-determination. And we find this pride is being set aside. Well, I better not say anything about pride, because, mind you, it sticks out of all of us, doesn't it? The man or woman that thinks they're not proud are the ones that are. You're proud because you think you're not proud. Is that right? Yeah. You see me with that cane? Well, I wouldn't use a cane for quite a while. And so they sent a therapist down from Ottawa and measured all up for this cane. And now they said, we're going to have another man come from Belleville, and you'll use the cane, won't you? "Well, you know, I said, I don't think I need the cane." "Well," they said, "we think you do. You've fallen 3 times. So they said, they didn't know this, but the Lord did. If I made a promise, and if I do, I try to keep it. They said, "Now you'll promise that you'll use that cane, won't you?" You know why I didn't want to use it? I was too proud. I didn't want to go walking along like this, like I have to. I said, "Well, all right." I've been using it ever since. Well, pride has been set aside as far as David is concerned. Now, we'll go along down the verses here to 6. I'll skip over 1 or 2. "Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me." Fellowship. Do you know that all of the brethren I read about in Scripture, and even David, they always had people with him. They weren't loners, but they had some with them. Fellowship with the Lord and His people. It's a most wonderful thing to have fellowship with others. And you'll notice that's what he's saying. "Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land." He's watching these faithful people. "He shall serve me." that they may dwell with me, the faithful of the land.
He wanted them to be with him.
Now I know that the Lord Jesus was alone on the cross, and he was alone in the mountain when everyone went to their own homes. But most of the time when we read about him in the Gospels, the disciples were with him, others were with him. He had others with him. And he had women that ministered unto him and so on. The Apostle Paul the same way, as you remember. He always had some with him. It's wonderful to be able to travel with the Lord's people, to be with them. And I hope you all appreciate so much being gathered out and gathered unto our Lord Jesus Christ to be with his people. And so, here was his desire. And we might notice his home life in verse 7. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that worketh deceit. You know, you can't receive everybody in your home, or you'd have a poor kind of a house. This is his home life. This is a determination that he's got. I have several nieces in Florida. They're not gathered out. I think two of them are saved. But, to my surprise, nobody is ever allowed to smoke in their house. So I said, well, how do you do that? They've got a sign like this. No smoking allowed in this house. So, when they have unsaved people come in, and they take out their pack, as soon as they do, my niece will go and pull out this little sign. She just holds it up. Oh, well, all right. And she says, I've determined that they're not going to defile my house with their cigarette smoke. Because it gets into your cushions, it gets into your drapes. After a while, it's a bad odor, and it's a bad testimony. And so, I have the same thing. I had a text outside of my house for years and kept changing it, of course. And I had a man come last spring to do a little something. And I saw him coming. He was smoking away and stopped and looked at that sign. Came to the door, he says, you don't allow any smoking in your house, do you, I suppose? No, I said, I don't. Okay, says, I won't. He did his little work and that was it. Ah, yes. Well, this is what David is saying here, is he not? He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. A deceitful person. A worker of deceit and so on. Ah, no. There's no room in your house for such kind of persons. Will they be there? They might be. You've got to be the head of your house. I appreciate that when I have know of brethren that are. They maybe call me hard, but the tailors, my grandfather was as hard as nails, seemed to me. However, there were certain things not allowed in our house and they weren't saved. My father wasn't a saved man. But certain things we must not do, and we didn't do it. Why? He had restrictions. When I'm in another home and man, they're gathered out people too, and I hear a man say to his son or daughter, I wish you wouldn't do that. Oh, I think of such weakness. Man, I think if they were only mine, I'd just get hold of them like this, and I'd say, don't you ever do that again. Brethren, you've got to be the head of your house. We're living in a weak day. The governments are weakened. You know that. We're complaining about the President of the United States and his weakness. We have it in Canada too, but we don't need it in our homes. I had a grandson. My grandson called me up, clicked. And I took the call because I thought, well, somebody must have died. or he wouldn't do that. Boy, somebody hadn't died at all. He wanted the financial help. Well, he got something else instead. And I told him, I said, don't you ever call me like that again. If you've no money to pay for your call, then don't call, because I'm not helping you. And I told him, I worked for 10 cents an hour when I was your age. You can get out and work for your money. He wanted me to help him to get through university. Nothing doing, I said. If your father can't help you, your grandfather won't help you. So that's it. Take a stand, brethren. And you are in the assembly what you are in your home, and vice versa. If you've taken a stand in your home, you can take a stand with your brethren. And you don't have to say to the brethren, well, now, I wish, and if you would please have it a little different and so on. You'll just say, listen, this is what the Bible has taught us, and we're going to go by it. Oh, those crappy fellows, they say. You know, we've got brethren now, they don't like you to quote the old brethren. I was quoting the old brethren, and another man said, in Mr. Taylor's age, years ago, it was different. But the society's changed now, and all this, and he began all the different changes. Dear me. Well, I told him publicly, I said, well, I'm thankful the Bible says no change Jehovah knows. Governments change and everything else changes, but he never changes. And I hope I'll never change the convictions that God has given me until it comes to heaven. And I hope you'll be the same. I'm trying to help some of you young brethren. I'm glad to see you. And I was glad to hear you. And I hope I've given you something to think about.